simplest way to describe the Bible is obey my voice. So here we have it. Under the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. Can't apply to the Jews, can it? Nope. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, the field, your body, fruit of the ground, fruit of your cattle, fruit of your livestock, your flocks. Blessed shall you be in your basket and store. So I'm going to read through and summarize it quickly here. Verse 7, the Lord shall cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. You shall go out against them one way, and they shall flee before you seven ways. Okay. The Lord shall command the blessing to be upon you and your store in all that you set your hand to do, and he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord shall establish you as a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you. If you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord and shall be afraid of you. The Lord shall make you plenteous in goods and the fruit of the body and the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your ground and the land which the Lord swore to give unto your fathers to give to you. And remember, the blessing was they would go to the west, to the north, to the south, and to the east. And when put in your notes there, Romans 4, that Abraham understood he would be heir of the world. Not just a little piece of land in Palestine. Verse 12, and the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give you rain unto your land in its season, and to bless you in all the work of your hand, and you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. The Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if that you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. And you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods and to serve them. Now everyone wants that, don't they? They want all the blessings. Now here's something to always remember. You cannot receive the blessings of God and live in sin. If you have grown up in a land that has been blessed by God, and you take it for granted, like we see today, and if you're young and you go out and waste your youth by sinning against God, which you are doing, like all the youth today, that's why they are fit for captivity. Then you're going to reap the curses of God. Because you cannot live in sin and reap the rewards of God. You can reap the rewards of sin, which is eventually death. Some sooner, some later. What is the promise to children? Honor your father and mother that your days on the earth may be long. How many young people are killed today because they don't do that? Is that a fulfilling of... Yes, it is. That's a fulfilling of the Word of God. Now, let's just read some of the curses here so that we can read some of these into the record. But I want you to read all of Deuteronomy 28 very carefully. And it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And what we have today in America and Britain and the other children of Israel in northwestern Europe, the descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel, is we have all of the curses are now overtaking them because they have forsaken God. And remember this, you cannot solve spiritual problems by political means. Never happened. Let me give you just one example. One example. Congress recently passed a law against partial birth abortion. And everyone said, oh, goody, 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 that's good. At least we have a step in the right direction. You know how they circumvent that? They don't do partial birth abortions anymore. Instead, they get a long syringe and give a lethal injection to the baby and it's stillborn. So they accomplish what they want to a different way. So when you look out and see, you can't even correct that small part of the huge, huge problem of abortion. And abortion, I believe, is the heart and core and key which has added all the other sins, murders, rapes, lying, cheating, stealing, that fills the land. And until there is repentance and a complete abolition of all abortions, and unless there is a repentance nigh on to what King Josiah effected in Jerusalem just before the downfall of Judah, there will be no change. There will be no reprieve. Because that is the heart and core of the problem. God has blessed them with all of these blessings, and when they wax fat, like the prophecy of Jeshurun there in Deuteronomy 32, what did they do? Became like Sodom and Gomorrah. So God says, all right, you want to be like Sodom and Gomorrah? I'm going to fill your land with strangers. And you kill all of 50 million innocent babies killed in the womb. Torn asunder, limb by limb. I got a book at home. A little girl looked at some pictures that her mommy had, and she was against abortion, and she made the statement, who broke the baby? Because it's all torn apart. Now remember, God created that life. And when a woman is pregnant, it is not her body. God entrusted women to bring forth life. When they violate that, they're going to suffer. Do the young women today suffer? Yes. Now, it's something that can be repented of on an individual basis, but it isn't going to be repented of on a national basis. And that's just one sin. That's to say nothing of the Sabbath, the holy days. What do? With the Sabbath? They start out with activities for teens Friday night to get them captured into Satan's way, to blow their minds, fill them with music that absolutely destroys their thinking capacity, get them on drugs and adultery. Then we wonder what's going on. All right, let me read you some of the curses. Sound just like the nightly news. And it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments, have no other gods before me, make no idols, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, honor your father and mother, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, right? Yes. And his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you, and they'll come like waves. A little dribble here and a little dribble there. It's just like a leak. If you let the leak go, more and more comes, and more comes. You know, just like a dike alongside a river. Once it's breached a little bit, then it starts running, and more is eroded, next thing you know, you're flooded. That's exactly what's happened to America and to Britain. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket in store. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. See? People say, well, why does God do all of this? Answer simple. Why do you reject God? Why do you believe in evolution? Why do you break his Sabbath? Why do you embrace Satan's holidays? Why do you commit adultery and lie and cheat and steal? God says in Hosea 4, you forget me, I'm going to forget your children. Is that now what has happened? Now you're going to see here in a little bit what's going to happen to the whole nation. And we better be strong in the Lord. Verse 20, the Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that you set your hand for to do, until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence to cleave unto you until he has consumed you from off the land where you go to possess it. He'll smite you with consumption, with a fever, with inflammation, with an extreme burning and sword, and with that's war and blasting and mildew. Well, all of those of you who live in tornado land, you know that, right? Or you live in Florida, hurricane land, you know that, right? Yes. Your heaven that is over you shall be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron, and the Lord shall make the rain of your land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon you until you be destroyed. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Now let's come to Leviticus 26 for just a minute. Leviticus 26, another warning. Let's also understand something very important. If God says it once, it's quite sufficient to happen. Correct? Because God doesn't lie. But if he repeats it, and repeats it, and repeats it, he wants you to learn the lesson. He means it. So here in Leviticus 26, you shall make you no graven images or idols or graven images, neither shall you put up a standing image. And guess what we have in Washington, D.C.? Obelisk, the Washington Monument, right? Yes. To bow yourself down to it, for I am the Lord your God. Now, I want you to understand how many times he says, I am the Lord your God, when you go through here. And when God says, I am the Lord your God, he is swearing by himself. And if God swears by himself, it is surely going to happen. Verse 2. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Today, that has to do with personal prayer. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I'll give you rain in due season. The land will yield or increase. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing. and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Have we not already done that? Yes. And I will give peace in the land. Peace from enemies comes from God, not homeland security, not armies, not navies, not air forces, not spying, not surveillance, not phone tapping. I will give you peace in your land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of your land. Now they're multiplying. Be careful where you walk in Florida, for an alligator may get you, and if you get away from him, maybe a python that would get you. And if you get away from that, it may be a cougar that will get you. And if you get away from that, it may be a rat with rabies that may bite you. Or if you get away from that, it may be coyotes that will get you, because I'm covering more than just the area of Florida, see? Neither shall the sword go through your land. And it's coming. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. 5 of you shall chase 100. 100 shall put 10,000 to flight. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you, and you shall eat the old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondsmen, and have broken the bands of their yokes, and made you walk upright. Now notice verse 14. But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, if you will despise my statutes, every Protestant minister hates the commandments of God, and hates the statutes of God, and hates the holy days of God, and says, Christ, who is the lawgiver, came and did away with the law. And yet purr like bleeding hearts at the end of their sermons. Give your heart to the Lord. Say nothing of the Catholics, they're worse. Beginning with the Pope down to the parish priest. If you despise my statutes, or if you abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. I will appoint over you terror. What is the latest war called? The war on terror. Now, when Solomon sinned, he raised up Hadad the Syrian. Sound a little familiar today? Yes. Where are the enemies coming from? The Middle East. Why do they have such a passionate hatred against us? Not only are they stirred up as an adversary from God, but they look and see the profligate way that we live. And it's a shame that Islam looks at itself as more righteous than the people of God, because we've gone the way of Sodom and Gomorrah and filled the land with sex and evil and drugs and lovers of pleasure. Yeah, we get up and sing, God bless America. Isn't going to happen. Point over you terror and consumption, the burning ague, which shall consume your eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you. And you shall flee when none pursues. And if you yet will not hearken for all this unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. And that's going to be the end of America and Britain as we know it. And I will make your heaven as iron, your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. How many billions are we spending on Homeland Security and surveillance? How many billions are we spending on health care when health comes from God? How many billions are we spending on law enforcement when if they would teach the Ten Commandments, everyone could be knowing how to conduct their lives and you would need a very minimum of law enforcement, etc., etc. Your land shall not yield or increase. Neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken to me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you for your sins. Send wild beasts. Then we come down here, verse 24. Then if you will also walk contrary to me, and I will punish you yet 7 times more for your sins. I will bring the sword upon you, and that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. When you are gathered together in your cities, I will send the pestilence among you. You shall be delivered into the hand of your enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, etc., 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 down verse 27. And if you will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary to me, I will walk contrary to you also in my fury. And I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. Not the end, he says. If you repent, I'll remember you. Now let's come back here to Deuteronomy 28. And let's see how it's going to happen. Let's see the prophecy that is being fulfilled and will be fulfilled over a period of time. And we're right in the middle of this. Have you heard of anything called the tipping point? The tipping point is when you put something on balance and it's in your favor, it'll say lean to your right. And then you start getting things out of balance and it starts coming up to the level position. When it gets to the level position and then everything starts going down on the left, you have passed the tipping point. And right now in America, we're coming past the tipping point, and in the United Kingdom, they've already gone past the tipping point. There it is. Verse 43. The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high. That shows a process of things happening. Process of time. And as I mentioned in one sermon, that there is 1.4 immigrants for every abortion that has been committed. And that's happened over a period of time. And if there were no abortions, there would be no illegal immigration. There'd be no room for them. There'd be no jobs for them. But because we have killed 50 million, now we import 50 million. That's a curse. Those who are here, and some of you come from some of those countries, don't feel bad. God brought you here to learn the truth. You can learn the truth and understand the truth. Thank God. But just remember, all of us are in the same boat. Don't blame the immigrants. Blame the sins of the Brits and the Americans. And you shall come down very low. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. And America today, I'll just say the United States because they want to use America in a different way, is the greatest debtor nation in the history of the world. Did God fulfill the prophecy? Who owns our debt? all the other nations of the world, and China's got a big hunk of it. As I mentioned the other day, all combined debt for all of America is $56 trillion. All borrowed. Or created out of thin air. And here's why they come. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you, shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which I command you, which I commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder and upon your seed forever, because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness, nor with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. Come over here to verse 52. He shall beseech you in all your gates until the high and fenced walls come down wherein you trusted. Now, what are our high and fenced walls? They even go real high, don't they? They have satellites clear up in outer space, right? For defense purposes, right? What good are they going to do? Is that going to be against God? No. Can they stop the hand of God? No. Can they stop the curses from coming? Not unless they repent, only be a reprieve for a while. Could you imagine this? Let's just stop and think about this. All the feminazis from the Now gang get up there and all repent in tears and ashes and sackcloth and say, we misled all the American women in the abortion field. For the Congress and President of the United States to call a day of fasting and repentance and all repent of their sins, their lies, their stealing, their double dealings. And the Supreme Court to say, we declare the Bible the law of the land. You think that'll happen? No way. But at this late date, that's the only way to turn back the hand of God. So God is going to do it in a way that we never thought. Because Satan comes along and he brings his good news. Now let's look at what happened to Britain first. Here are the sins as to why Britain is now facing a Muslim majority which could take over all of England and enforce Islamic Sharia law because they rejected God. The Protestant Reformation never succeeded in coming all the way to God. They came part way. Protestants came part way. How many people really give themselves wholly, totally, absolutely to God in everything that he says and commands? No, everybody's got to reserve a little place of sin in the back of their mind so that they won't commit themselves to God wholly, totally, absolutely, see? That's what we need to do, brethren. If you have any place in the back of your mind that you haven't committed to God, you better start committing it to God. So they didn't finish the Protestant Reformation. I think maybe William Tyndale would have, after he started translating the Old Testament, I think he began to understand about the Sabbath and the holy days. But who had to translate it? One man. Chased from pillar to post by all the Catholic authorities and finally betrayed and sent off to Valdosta prison near Brussels, the home and capital of the European Union today. where he was in prison and finished the translating of the Old Testament. And he was taken out to be martyred. And when they tied him to the stake, they put a noose around his neck with a hole through the stake to choke him, put all the firewood around him to burn him at the stake. And the last words that he said, which God fulfilled, he said, "God opened the eyes of the King of England." And they choked him, gave up his last, and they burned him at the stake for loving God, translating the Bible so we can have it. And it's here today with us. And the King James that you have is 95% William Tyndale. And the arrogance of the translators of the King James stole 95% of his work and gave him not one iota of credit for it. And what we have today and what I do today, William Tyndale plowed the ground first. Then there were faithful scholars and things down through time with that as well. So they turned their back on the Reformation. They never finished it. They allowed the Church of England to become more and more Catholic. The kings and queens of Britain after the great Queen Elizabeth and some of the other great kings became profligate in their behavior just like they are today, unfit to rule. And Queen Elizabeth today has seen the dismantling of the British Empire from near its height of glory to a quivering little island north of Europe, half in the EU and half out of the EU. Beginning in the 1800s, they had these following great sins: Darwin and evolution, communism through Marx and Engels. Then they had the music which came out with the Beatles, and now the worst sin of all, Harry Potter. And their churches have maybe one or two pitiful senior citizens come every Sunday, shuffling their way into the church and out, waiting for the day of their death. And the Catholic Church is very happy that they have destroyed the Church of England. And now they're consumed with surveillance and terror, and yet they're not turning back to God. UK is ready to go down. In this book, The Late Great USA by Jerome R. Kersey, let me give you the ISBN number so you can order one if you want. You can get it on Amazon.com. This book documents the political things that are going on and says virtually nothing about the spiritual sins of the people which have caused this. Because if the people were not sinning, we would not have the leaders that we have doing the things that they are doing. ISBN number 9780 9790 45 141. I'll repeat it. 9780 9 7904 5141. And I'll leave it here. You can check it later in case I missed it. I'm going to do some reading from this to see how all the curses that I just read you are coming upon the modern-day descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. He said, in writing a book he had written previously, I realized something was terribly wrong when the Bush administration took no action against thousands of illegal immigrant protesters and their supporters who marched on May Day 2006 in the American streets under the Mexican flag. The only conclusion I could reach was that the Bush administration was leaving our borders with Mexico and Canada wide open because that is the way the Bush administration wanted the borders. As I worked on Minutemen, I came to suspect that President Bush had made a fundamental policy commitment when he agreed to the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America. You want to check this all out? Get the book. You can go online. www.spp. SecurityProsperityPartnership.org. Go online, do a Google search, and find out about the AMERO. Go to the CFR website and find out the writings that they've had about this for a long time. He made a policy commitment when he agreed to the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America at a summit meeting with Mexico and Canada on March 23, 2005, right here in Waco, Texas, at Baylor University, between Vicente Fox, Premier Martin, and President Bush. More than a declaration of friendship by neighboring countries, the agreements made at the Waco summit were perhaps the reason our borders with Canada and Mexico remain so porous. The argument made in the late great U.S. is that the policymakers in these three nations and multiple multinational corporations have placed the United States, Mexico, and Canada on a fast track to merge together economically and politically. He talks about the formation of the European Union. And it came by working on economic things, step by step by step by step. Then they had the Treaty of Rome. Then they had ended up with the European Common Market. And on the same day that they signed for the European Common Market, guess what they also signed in treaty? The European Court of Justice, which was over all the courts of all the countries that were in the European Union. And I want you to see the parallels that are going to happen. He points out that the European Union succeeded by using the incremental approach with a stealth plan. That's exactly the way that Satan infiltrates. That's exactly how he works to get what he wants done. Do you think that in the height of Worldwide Church of God, that if the minister came in on the Sabbath and said, "Brethren, I have good news. We're now going to believe in the Trinity. We are now going to meet on Sunday. We are now going to reject the Sabbath and the holy days. We are now going to embrace Sunday and the holidays." 90% would up and walk out. But how was it done? A little here and a little there. A little twisting of the scripture here. A little dropped hint there. Incremental by stealth. And Jean Monnet, who was the one who was the father of the EU, said concerning sovereignty, "The sovereign nations of the past could no longer solve the problems of the present. They cannot ensure their own progress or control their own future, and the community itself is the only stage on the way to the organized world of tomorrow." So the EU was the start. And so they had the great deception of it. So here's how they did it. A highly motivated and passionate organizer. Economic union is means to economic growth. What do we have? NAFTA? Super NAFTA? Which was later followed by political union. A desire to foster security and eradicate war. A desire to establish a collective conscience that superseded national conscience. That's why they don't teach history in schools anymore, because they want all of the young people to grow up as ding-dongs so they don't know how the nation came about and the blessings that God gave them, so that they can, when they come along and have them all hyped up on their music and on their drugs and on their modern living and all of their gadgets and all of the pleasures and things that they have, and when it comes time to change, they'll say, well, we have a better thing. We have the North American Union. They'll say, hooray. What took you so long? A de facto political union that resulted from economic treaties followed by formal ratifications. That's exactly what is happening. The blurring of borders and the transfer of passports from countries to the supra government. And a reticence to acknowledge the real goals of the movement, the creation of a common currency. Now, how many saw on Fox News when Bret Baier, when they had the meeting up in Canada, they had put it on Fox News, Bret Baier stood up and said, is it true that you are working on treaties to bring about the North American Union? And all the press laughed, hee, 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 and the president scoffed at it. And then the gang on Brett Humes, they put it down. Of course not, they're not doing it. Well, all you have to do is go on the government website and it'll tell you they're doing it. Okay? So they work by secrecy. And here's quite a statement. As the EU experience shows us, secrecy is the great friend of tyranny. Secrecy is the great friend of tyranny. See, because all of this is coming to Satan's counterfeit one-world government. So then he shows the disturbing parallels. Let's go to the next track, please.